It's Psalm 116 tonight. Yes, let me turn you there, please. We'll read some verses from the opening part of the chapter. Book of Psalms, 116. Let's just read from the words of verse 1. I love the Lord, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications, because He hath inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Amen. Just ending tonight at the end of the words of verse 14. I'm turning you back to Psalm 116. 116th Psalm. We'll title our message just tonight in closing, Our Solemn Obligation. And just let's unite our hearts together as we come to the preaching of God's Word. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence with us. We thank the Lord, praise us comely unto Thee. And we praise the Lord for the messages and song tonight. Not only from the congregation, but Lord, from our men tonight in the choir. Thank Thee for the talents Thou hast given our young ladies as well. And O God, we pray that Thou would write these words even on our hearts. And bless us as we turn to Thy truth just now. O Lord, shut out every distracting thought. I pray, Lord, that Thou would fill me with Thy Spirit, that I might preach as thus. And thus saith the Lord, and O God, that Thy Spirit would apply this message to some heart this evening. O God, we pray that they might bow the knee to this solemn obligation. Hear this our prayer, for we offer it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. This is a psalm which must in some measure be connected with the coming out of Egypt. It is all the marks of a song that the believing soul could make in light of their deliverance through the Passover Lamb. And hence the speaking thereof with gratitude and with praises unto the Lord. What child of God could not utter the opening words without hesitation? I love the Lord. What a blessing to be able to say tonight, I love the Lord. And it is only by the grace of God and through the gospel privileges that we are able to do so. And the psalmist furthermore knows why he can say, I love the Lord. It was because of the love of God that heard his prayers. We stand tonight, men and women, young people, upon the last Sabbath evening of 2016. It gives us occasion to look back. The old adage is very true, time waits for no man. And while others have been cut off into God's eternity, never to have another gospel message preached to them, God has been merciful to you and to many besides. whereby we're still in the day of God's grace, and you are yet under the sound of the glorious message of the gospel, which is able to save your soul. You just consider how many God-given opportunities souls have had of being confronted with the need of being born again of God's Spirit, of the need of repenting of their sin and turning by faith to the Lord Jesus. Many have found the mercy of God's salvation in Christ this year. And the difference is seen in their life. Yet there are so many more who still are bound by sin and held by many a snare. For many they would have to admit, spiritually speaking, this has been a wasted year. Therefore many of the verses that are before us would be applicable to your heart at this time. Especially those which betray a time of trouble that you may be passed through. Look at the words of verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Tell me listen tonight. You're not saved. Has the Lord not helped you? Maybe throughout this year you were brought very low. The Lord helped you. Verse 8. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Well, God preserved you in your goings out and in your comings in. God's hand has been upon you. But you know it is also a psalm where Christ can be imagined to be offering thanksgiving unto His Father. He has passed through the sorrows and He's passed through the afflictions of His earthly sojourn. The atonement work is past. I can't read verse 3 but think of the cross. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. That brings us to Calvary. And the Lord has passed through. He has completed that work of atonement. He has risen from the dead. He's at the right hand of the Father in majesty and high. And He proclaims to all the mercies that He received in the day of His incarnation. But whether you take it in that context or apply it more so to the blessings received at the passing of another year, I would direct you tonight to my thought-provoking text. And you'll find in verse 12, where the psalmist penned, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? There's our solemn obligation. Three simple thoughts. First of all, you'll notice here our benefits. It will be easy to pass on from another Sabbath. Indeed, it will be easy to pass through life itself and never think, never give it a thought of all that the Lord has done for you. Maybe that's you tonight. For you know, men and women, that is the mentality of many in this world. For they believe that anything they have, it's of their own making. If I want to get on in life, then that is my own making, that is my own doing, my own hard work, my achievements, my opportunities that I made for myself. If I'm able to climb the social ladder, then it's because of what I have done. But I want you to understand that such a verse as this causes us to think otherwise. The psalmist brings before us the fact that the benefits and the blessings of the Lord are plentiful. Indeed, we could say that they're so numerous that they're beyond our human calculation. Consider for a moment all the temporal benefits which you have received from the hand of God. Paul could speak of that day when by God's grace he was brought forth from his mother's womb. That time when he was born and the light of the day was first to break upon him. It was something that he could offer his praise unto God for. We read of it in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, He moves from even His physical birth to His spiritual birth. And He's able to praise the Lord. You can thank God tonight for the day and for the circumstances of your birth. We thank God for the many little ones that have been born again into our congregation this year. And you maybe can look back to the day or to the time or the upbringing that you received. You'll not remember too much about your birth as I don't. But you'll remember the circumstances. You'll remember your upbringing. You're the temporal blessings of loved ones, of friends and of family. And maybe the greatest blessing of any child you had it, of being born in a family where mommy and daddy, they knew the Lord. And they love the Lord as their Savior. And you have cause to thank God for a roof over your head tonight, where there are countless numbers in this world, and the roof is the starry expanse of the panoply of heaven. You can be mindful tonight of the benefits of God for your physical well-being. Of food in your bodies, of clothes in your back, of a measure of health and strength which finds you being able to come out to the house of God. You know, there are those in our congregation, they'd love to be here where you're sitting tonight. But they can't. They haven't got that physical strength anymore. You can thank God for the physical strength that you enjoy. And you can thank God that you can take in mentally and comprehend the preaching of the gospel. When we begin to consider the temporal benefits of the Lord, we're only feeling ourselves to be scratching the surface. You can say, tonight my cup runneth over. When you're mindful that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. But my friend, what are the spiritual benefits? These are the greatest of importance. The blessing of being able to hear the gospel of saving grace, which is able to save your soul. The benefit of hearing of God's so great salvation. Something which many in this land tonight take for granted. And maybe that's even you yourself. Or of hearing of how lost of sinful mankind, without hope in this world or that which is to come, can be redeemed from their sin and from nature's darkness. Realizing that in and of yourself by nature you are like that proverbial stone lying in the deep mire. A stone is lifeless and it's cold. And what an apt picture of the unregenerate soul of the unsaved person on God's earth tonight. They're cold. They're dead to the things of God. They're lifeless without motion. And they're found lying in the filth and in the mire of their sin. But the good news of the gospel is that such a one can by the mercy and by the grace of our God be lifted up to become a prince with God. And it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only Savior of a lost world who condescended to become like us so He might live an obedient life and He might die that atoning death on the cross of Calvary. And He subjected Himself to the will of His Heavenly Father so that the sinner might be pardoned and forgiven. And there on the cross He shed His own precious blood so as to purchase an eternal redemption that you, sinner, might be saved. Message tells of the Lord being led in that virgin tomb. And the third day conquering death to live forevermore. Of Him being seen of many witnesses and ascending back to the Father's throne. One day to come again for His own prepared people. What a message! What spiritual benefits there are to be found in the gospel of saving grace. What blessings flow from the finished work of the Savior upon that cross. You see, men and women, listen. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But let me show you. Not only does the verse speak of them being plentiful, but they are personal. He says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Personal. For all that the Lord has bestowed upon you. Have you ever stopped to consider them personally? Here are blessings that are directed to you personally. I wonder, would you be like Jabez of old who cried unto the Lord, oh, that Thou might bless me indeed. God is more willing and ready to bless you this evening than you are to receive it. I pray that God would give you the grace, if you're not saved, to seek the greatest benefit of all, of personally knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The chorus puts it well, count your many blessings. Name them one by one and it will surprise you just what the Lord has done. There's our benefits. But you know, secondly, there's also in this little text our nothingness. We must address the question that is asked in this text. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? The psalmist had cause to contemplate all that the Lord had done for him, and it moved him to put this question as he does. The divine favors were impressed upon him, and he wanted to express his gratitude to God. Yet what is man able to offer back to God? What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Man born of Adam's fallen race owes so much to God the Father, forever setting His love upon an undeserving people. I want you to follow my train of thought here now. We owe so much to God the Father because it was God the Father who set His love upon His people. For His great show and wonderful plan of salvation, ordered and decreed before the foundation of this world, before He spake this world into being, when He would have been just to leave mankind to go in their sin and on to a lost eternity in hell. Yet God the Father decreed the great and wonderful plan, and He set His love upon lost mankind. We are indebted to God the Son for His obedience in leaving the glory that He had with the Father behind and coming as the only Savior of the world, in obedience going to the cross of Calvary. And how in one sentence we've comprised His short life of 33 years approximately. And it doesn't owe up to that life. It is a life that was sinless. It was a life that was perfect. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with Him. And yet in obedience not only did He come, but in obedience He went to the cross. And there He was to lay down His life, shedding His blood, so fulfilling what the holy law of God had decreed. Think of all that entailed for the Lord. Think of the sufferings that He endured. Think of the mockings and the crown of thorns pressed into His brow. Think of that verse and how it puts it in Hebrews. Yet He endured the cross and He despised the shame. What for? For the joy that was set before Him. The joy of redeeming His own people, that where He is, they shall be with Him also. We're indebted to God the Son. And we owe so much to God the Spirit. For it's the Spirit of God that we can come to know Christ as by Him. He does not speak of Himself, but His ministry is exalting the Savior, that which was most evident in the life of old Simeon. Let me take you to old Simeon. Luke chapter 2. I think someone mentioned it in prayer even this morning in our prayer meeting. Luke chapter 2. You look with it just for a few moments with me here. Verse 25, you know the context, the setting. The Savior, having been born, was to be brought into the temple at 8 days old. The offering was made. And that offering was the offering of the poor. For they were to bring the young pigeons, the turtle doves. And verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And I want you to notice the last words, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Simeon was a man, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. But let's go on. Let's look at verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Not only was the Holy Ghost upon him, he was taught of the Holy Ghost. He was taught of the Spirit of God. And there's a wee bit more. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. So the Holy Ghost is upon him. And he's been taught by the Spirit. And listen, verse 27, he's led, he's guided by the Spirit. and he's led by the Spirit to see Christ, whereby he can say, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." You see, that's the work of God, the Holy Spirit, just summed up there. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts of sin and leads a sinner to the cross to see with eyes shall die all that the Lord of glory has done for a sinner and for a wretch such as we. And we know that when a sinner comes to Christ through faith, that the Spirit of God dwells within him. And we know His guidance. And we know His leading. Even the comfort that we need all along the Christian pathway. That's the work of the Spirit. Consider all that the Godhead has done. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And no wonder then that we too should ask this question like the psalmist, "What shall I render unto the Lord?" This question comes to you individually. And it is when you come to that point where you realize as a sinner that you cannot give back to the Lord anything that would merit His favor or repay for all His grace and all His mercy, that then you begin to see your nothingness and you begin to see your bankruptcy. You may begin to see why the psalmist cried on another occasion, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou shouldst visit him?" Isaiah the prophet could say, "For we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." The apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, he repeats the same thought. "There is none righteous, no not one. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good, no not one." You see, there's nothing that man can offer up to God in return for His abounding mercy and His abounding grace. Consider those in the time of the Lord had nothing to offer, but they knew His touch. You think of the little woman that was bowed over for 18 years, bent double. She couldn't straighten herself. And for 18 years she knew that infirmity. And yet the word and the touch of the Master was to see her straightened immediately. Or you think of the blind man who called upon the Lord that He might touch them so that they might see. And the Lord had mercy upon them so that their eyes were open. They could see clearly. Or think of Lazarus. A man who was dead and was buried in his tomb, and yet he was to hear the voice of the Lord to come forth. And with that word, Lazarus came forth. He was raised to life, and he came forth still bearing the grave clothes that were upon him. And my dear friend, if you're not saved tonight, I want you to bring those three simple illustrations to mind. I want you to bring them all together. Of the little one that was bowed down, of the blind man, and of Lazarus who was dead. You see why? Because there's a picture of you. They're pictures of yourself. You're one which is bowed down with sin tonight. Your eyes are upon the things of this earth and they're away from the Lord. You're one whom the God of this world has blinded so that you will not see Christ and you'll not see His beauty. And except the Lord pours in the eye salve, you will continue to be like Lazarus, dead in trespasses and in sins, and one day to go to that eternal death in the place where God has forgotten to be merciful. Nothing. There's nothing that you can do to straighten yourself. There's no cure of this world that will cause your spiritual eyesight to be corrected. There's nothing of yourself which you can offer to God that can raise you up from death unto life. There's foolish people in a few days' time, and they call them New Year's resolutions, and it's really like turning over a new leaf. Can't keep them. It's the old nature, you see. And dear soul, you can't turn over a new leaf and be right before God because you've still not got that sinful heart, that heart that needs to be redeemed, that heart that needs to be pardoned, that heart that needs to be made anew, where God in salvation gives you a new heart and He puts a new spirit within you. I trust that the close of another year wherein you have again heard your need of salvation, that you really see tonight your nothingness and you see tonight your emptiness, and you realize that if you're ever to be saved and if you're ever to know eternal life, then you're solely dependent, listen to me, upon His grace and upon His mercy, nothing else. God doesn't step into your life. If God doesn't speak to your soul by His Spirit, you're damned for all eternity. You're solely dependent upon Him. Because we have nothing to offer. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Our benefits, our nothingness, and then you'll see our obligation. For the psalmist asked the question, but in the mercy of God he could give an answer in the word that followed. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? Look at it. I will take the cup of salvation. It doesn't refer to the cup that is taken at the Lord's table. For as a sinner you can't touch that cup. For you cannot remember the Lord's death on your behalf. The unregenerate soul has no appreciation of what the Lord did for them on the cross. They have rejected His once for all sacrifice for sins, and so therefore experientially they cannot be thankful, they cannot be in remembrance of His death. Dear unsaved loved one, don't dare come to the Lord's table and take that cup. That's not the cup that has been spoken about here. It doesn't speak of the cup of affliction or suffering either. And so many of the Church of Jesus Christ have had to endure that cup in the year that has passed. And they're enduring it right up until this present hour. So many of our brothers and sisters in Christ have that cup, but that's not what this cup is. But rather the inference is to the one who will take the cup of God's salvation and offer that praise unto God for His free offer of mercy presented to them in the message of the gospel. It's a salvation which is eternal. It's a salvation which is full and which is free. It is without money and without price, obtained at the highest cost, even the giving of Christ's life's blood. And the giving of God's only begotten Son. You see, the picture here in these words is of the master of the family at the end of the feast or the meal. And he would take the cup in his hands and he would lift it up and he would offer praise and he would offer thanks unto God as a means of a drink offering unto Him. I wonder, will you take God's cup of salvation tonight and thank God for saving your soul? You might ask, how can I? Preacher, how can I? You see, the rest of the verse explains how you can. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's it. There's salvation in none other. None other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is that name high over all in hell or earth or sky. Angels and men before it fall and devils fear and fly. It is that name that one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess He is Lord. Tell me tonight, will you call upon that name? That name that is so special. I'm not asking you to call upon the name of a church, denomination. I'm not asking you to call upon the name of an historical figure in the past, of our glorious heritage. Not save you. I will call upon the name of the Lord. You see, His name is the only saving name, the Lord Jesus Christ. The promise of God goes out to you, dear sinner, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Or understand that it's the only thing that you can do in gratitude to for all that the Lord has done for you. It is to receive Him by faith as your own and personal Savior. The Lord is not looking anything from you but your heart, your life, your all. You can think back to the old Levitical offerings. Those Levitical laws were fulfilled in Christ when He offered Himself unto God as He gave His heart, His life, His all, so as to purchase eternal salvation for all who will come. And you see, one of those offerings was the drink offering. And Christ took that cup. He took the cup. And He drunk that cup dry. He drunk the last drop of the dregs in that cup that were given unto Him. And He finished the work. He purchased salvation, and thereby it opens up a way for you, the sinner, to come. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I wonder, will you come tonight? Final Sabbath of this year. I wonder, will you render all unto the Lord and let the Lord have complete control in your life? See, that's your most solemn obligation. Verse 14 goes on, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Wonders are won tonight in the presence of God's people, and you're going to come. Preacher, it's Christ for me. I've said no right throughout this year. But tonight, I'm coming to the Lord. Will you come? Will you take that cup of salvation? Will you call on the name of the Lord? God help you to do so. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God has been speaking to your heart. Dear loved one, child, young person, older, you can take that cup just where you sit. You can call upon the name of the Lord where you're sitting. And thank God if you call in sincerity and repentance of your sin, the Lord will hear and He'll answer. You'll be able to leave this house saying, preacher, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. For He has heard my prayers and my supplications. If I can have any help, I'm here afterwards. I'll speak to you and gladly point you to Christ. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy presence tonight, for help given. And Lord, for this little text at the end of another year. And O God, I pray that Thou would write it indelibly upon the heart, especially of the unconverted. Maybe, Lord, one who's hardened. Maybe, Lord, one who has traversed through another year, casting the gospel back into Thy face, and saying, I will not have this man to rule over me. One who thinks that they can get on in life and anything they have is because of what they do. And yet, Lord, this text reminds us of the blessings and benefits that we enjoy. They're all given from Thee. And I pray, Lord, there'll be those tonight that will close in with Thy greatest blessing. The blessing of God's salvation through the person and the atoning work of the Lord Jesus. O God, speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Part us with Thy blessing tonight and in Thy fear. Speak on, Lord, I would pray. Trouble that soul. Lord, we've just touched upon the work of the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would do His work of conviction and trouble the sinner tonight until they bow the knee, until they call upon the name of the Lord to save them and to wash them in His precious blood. For we ask these things for Jesus' sake and for God's eternal glory. Amen.